Good evening. It's a blessing to be gathered together again and to be able to look into God's Word. And this evening, we want to look at not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, something that we love, something that is precious to us, we're not ashamed of, okay? And, you know, I am challenged sometimes by people's lives. When I look at the Muslims, I don't agree with them. I believe that they are a false religion. But I do admire some their willingness to be dedicated to the cause. One of the reasons why they're unstoppable is because they're willing to give their life. In times past and in persecuted countries, the church has not been able to be stopped because people have been willing to give their lives. They have been willing to die. And when someone is willing to die for what they believe and they're unashamed of what they believe and they pass that on to others, it just becomes, you know, it just becomes, you can't put it out. And, you know, sometimes when we think of the things of Christ and of not being ashamed, we can come up with some pretty good excuses sometimes. We say things like, you know, it's just not me. It's just not me to, you know, to talk to someone I don't know. Okay? I understand that for some people it does come more natural and more easy and all this and that. But just let me give you a little illustration here that most of the time we probably can speak, all right? Even if it's someone we don't know, okay? So let's say that you are in Walmart and you're checking out your groceries, okay, or whatever. And you know, and she tells you what the amount is, and you slide that credit card and you pay for it, and you're not in your absence of thinking there a little bit, you know, we lay the credit card down on the counter and we're putting the things into the bag, and just as we turn around, we see that the man that's in line behind us, he reaches up and takes that. And he starts walking down the other aisle. Now, since it's not so, and so since we're not used to talking to somebody that we don't know, and so since it's just not me, I just stand there and watch the man walk away with my card, right? Because it's just not me to talk to someone that I don't know. Well, no, we would say, wait a minute, stop that guy. He's got my credit card. And we wouldn't have to know anybody around us, but right away, when something that's precious to us is taken, I mean, we say, stop him right now. He's got my credit card. And we wouldn't be ashamed to say that. We wouldn't look around first and see who's here. No, we would say, you know, and like I said, we wouldn't say, man, I just wish I knew what to say when things like that happen, but I just don't know what to say. And so, you know, I'll just let him go. I mean, it's just, you know. Well, no, we don't do it that way. We, you know, we are very willing of that. Another interesting thing that I've seen is often when I talk to grandparents, okay, sometimes I don't even have to ask them. But, you know, if I say, do you have grandchildren, they don't say, oh. No, they say four and two on the way, as far as we know, or whatever, you know. And, because why? They're not ashamed of that. They don't kind of bury their head and kind of look the other way and make sure certain people aren't around or whatever, and then they say, yeah, we have eight grandchildren, a couple on the way, but don't tell anybody, you know. No, I mean, it's because we're not ashamed of to say, you know, we have grandchildren, or You know, I have five children. I'm not ashamed to tell people when they ask me, how many children do you have? I say, I have five. I don't say it real quietly, even though I don't know them, you know. And so a lot of times, you know, something that is precious to us and that is dear to us, I think we're not ashamed of. And Paul said that in Romans 1:16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of young people here tonight and a lot of all different ages. But I want to tell you young people something. The Anabaptist Church is in desperate need of young people who will rise up and will live with their life that statement, that I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If your mom and dad has, rise above it. If your church has been, rise above it. Choices that we make. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said he was not. Take your Bibles tonight, and we want to look at an Old Testament story, and we want to gain some types and shadows a little bit from this. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. And we want to talk tonight about three men who were unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't believe at this point anymore that they were young men. They had probably been there 20 to 40 years by this time. I'm not for sure how long they had been in Babylon at this time. But we want to look at this story here of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we want to gain some truths from it tonight. So let's begin reading here at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 3 store cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the providences of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the providences to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the providence were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providences of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We're going to stop reading there. We'll continue reading here after a little bit. So here is the setting. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has been in Babylon for quite some time now. They're no longer just teenagers or whatever, but they have grown into men. But at a very early age, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had decided, along with Daniel, that they would not feed on the king's meat, okay? They had decided that even though they were away from home, and even though they could have did anything that they wanted, they decided that, no, we will serve God. We will not bow to the fact that the king wants us to eat meat, that according to the Old Testament was not allowed to do that. They said, we won't do that. And so time went on, and they rose to power. The Lord brought them to power in the government of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar decided to have this big celebration. And he decided to make this huge statue, and probably a statue of himself, probably. And he wanted, it says, all nations, all people. He wanted a one-world religion, basically, a one-world government. He wanted all of the regions to come in. And the idea was that they were going to worship this idol. In other words, he wanted them to worship him, I believe, is ultimately what he wanted. And he wanted to be raised up as God. And so he said, call all of the people in. So there was probably thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people at this statue, because it says all of, you know, all and even different nations was there. And all the presidents, the vice presidents, the Senate, the House, the police officers, all of those people in today's setting was there. All the church people, a lot, you know, whatever, there probably wasn't many godly people there. But they were there. Whoever all it was, they were there. And it was this huge crowd. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he made it very clear. He said, I'm going to play the music. And he said, when I play the music, he said, I want you to bow down and worship the golden image. Now that's pretty plain, right? If I told you, all right, now let's get up and let's walk out, you could understand that real good, couldn't you? Yeah. And so it wasn't that these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it wasn't that they didn't understand, but the problem was that they did understand, and they realized that they could not do this to a God who they were unashamed of. And so the music began to play, and all it could have been thousands, it could have been 100,000 people or more, I don't know, huge amount of people. It wasn't just 50 or 100 people, because Nebuchadnezzar didn't even notice that they hadn't knelt. That's how many people was there, okay? He didn't look out over there and say, hey. No, he didn't know that. Somebody had to come tell him. And so as the music was playing, and it was probably soft, worshipful music and soothing and kind of emotional, and the people began to bow down and to worship, except for three men. Now, I have a pretty good, I can think of a lot of things, and my wife says it's a good thing I'm a Christian, but probably is. But, you know, I think if I was there, I would have been tempted to think of a way to try to weasel out of that. Do you know what I mean? I mean, the music was playing, and everybody else was bowing down. I think I would have liked to have came up with what we call a compromise, okay? I would have liked to have came up with a compromise. I can't worship this idol because I've got to worship God, but what are all these people around here going to think? I have some clout. I'm in the government, and what are these people around me going to think if I don't bow down and worship? I could have thought, you know, we're pretty important to the king, and so God's placed us in this position, so obviously he doesn't want us to just not bow and lose our life because God needs us, you know? Or I could have thought, you know, we're kind of in a different country, and they just look at some of these things different than we do. I mean, yeah, it's against the word of God, but, you know, they just look at it different. You know, often we're more concerned about offending people than we are disobeying God. Okay? And so, oh, well, man, these people would be offended if I wouldn't bow down and worship, because this is just part of their culture. I have to worship, bow down. I mean, in my heart, of course, I'm not going to worship this idol. But, you know, in order to fit in with the people and to win the people to God, man, I think maybe it would just be best in this case to bow down. Or I could have thought, you know, maybe I could just go ahead and I could just bow down. You know, God would understand. You know, and I can go ahead and I can bow down and then I can go home tonight and tell the Lord I'm sorry. Or I tell you what, you know, another thing that I could do is I could bow down like I'm worshiping the idol, but I would just pray to the God of heaven. I would just use the world system to worship my God. And they would think, man, that's neat. That would draw people to God, wouldn't it? Or here's one that I have thought of that I think I would have been tempted to do, okay? As the music was playing, I think I would have been a little tempted to just decide that it was time to start stretching a little bit, you know? Because it's healthy to stretch, you know? You get a little older and your back gets tight, you know? And, boy, you want to stretch, you know? While the music was playing, I could have got this brilliant idea, too, that, you know, I'll just kind of kneel down here, and I'll just act like I'm probably not tying my shoe, but just act like I'm tying my sandal, you know? And then, you know, after the music's done, I get up and stretch a little bit, you know, and, oh, yeah, you know, and then everybody's happy. It's called compromise, you see? That's not what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. I don't think they looked at each other and said, what are we going to do? Let's call the bishop, see what he says. Let's look in the church standard and see what that says. Maybe let's form a committee and let's vote. No. I'm sure there was pressure, and I'm sure they were tempted to do something down the line that I just showed you, and they were probably strengthened by each of them being there, but I believe that in their heart, they had already chosen that we will not bow. Period. And so when the time came, the decision was already made. God is our God. This world is not my God. And we will not bow. It's very interesting that the enemies of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, now think about this, not their church members, okay, but their enemies. You're talking about a testimony. Look in verse 12. It says, there are certain Jews whom thou settest over the affairs of the providences of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now this is a testimony, O king. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not your what? Gods. They don't serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Is that what your neighbors say? I know we can't get by this, and it's an important finger of our Christian life. So I'm not making fun of it, but I have asked people before. If your neighbors could look at you and look at your life and not see how you are attired, would they see on your outward appearance, would they see anything different? Or would they hear fighting, bickering, gossiping? The things that we take in and out, that come in the mailbox, whatever, would they say, wow. If persecution broke out and they come into your community and they would come and say, are there any Christians that don't bow to the gods of this world? Would your neighbor say right down the street there? Would they say, Terry Myers right down there, his family? I mean, I don't understand it all, but this world is not their home. I mean, they are different. Or would they say, I don't know. I mean, the Myers family down there, they're kind of different. You know, I mean, she kind of wears this cap on her head, and they never work on Sunday, and, you know, they like to get things really cheap and sell really high, you know. Is that what they would say? Or would they say, right down there. Right down there is a family that they don't serve the gods of this world. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's enemies said of them, who wanted to see them destroyed. That's what they said. Okay? So let's read on now a little bit. Verse 13. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And if he will not deliver us out of, he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set. That's what they said. In front of 100,000 people or whatever, in front of the king, the ruler of Babylon, the man who thought he was God. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar, I think he liked these guys. He probably knew them. And Nebuchadnezzar is a lot like the world, a lot like the devil. You know, he said, listen, guys, I really like you boys. And he said, I don't want to throw you into the fiery furnace. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. He said, I'm going to play the music another time. And he said, you know, if you bow down, maybe you misunderstood. He said, if you bow down this time, if you bow down this time, we'll forget all about the first time. Oh, isn't that how the devil works? He says, oh, I say no, and the devil says, yeah, Terry, you know, you're right. That's a pretty big step. He doesn't say that, but how about if we just take a little smaller step? So he gives me another opportunity and another opportunity and another, and he plays the music again and again and again and again and again. And he says, you know, if you bow this time, we'll forget all about the other time. Let's just worship now. Forget about the past. Let's just worship now. Don't think about the future. Let's just worship now. But you know, as the king told that to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, listen, king. I mean, I'm just going to say it in Terry Meyer's version here. But, you know, they said, listen, king. They said, we appreciate the offer, but, you know, it doesn't change anything. You can play the music 10 more times. And they said, we're not going to bow. We've decided we're not going to bow. So, you know, save the effort. Because we cannot bow to your gods because we serve the living God, and we are unashamed of our living God. Did you ever notice that sometimes when you stand for truth, people get upset? Did you ever notice that? Did you ever notice that when someone gets upset, we kind of tend to like to go back and say, you know, you didn't approach that right because those people got upset. And, you know, if you'd approached that right, if you would have said that right, if you'd have went to them in more love, now that there is some truth to that, that we do need to do it filled with the Spirit and we need to do it in love. But I'm going to tell you one thing, young people and all of us here tonight, that sometimes when you stand for truth, no matter how you stand for it, people are not going to like it, period, because you're of a different kingdom. You're not of the kingdom of this world. And so it says that Nebuchadnezzar became not only a little bit upset, it says that he became full of fury, and it says that the form of his visage changed. I mean, he got upset. I mean, I can see the veins coming out in his throat. I can see his face getting red. I can see him looking out over here, and I can hear his mind spinning and saying, If you guys think you're going to show me up in front of all my peers, you've got something else coming. He got upset. Upset. And he said, heat that furnace up 7 times hotter. He said, I ain't going to put up with this. And he said, who is that God that's going to save you? I'll show you who God is. And so I don't know what they did, but they had that furnace up hot, 7 times hotter. Then he calls out some of his soldiers, some of his big soldiers, and he has them come up there, and they take these ropes, and they bind their hands, and they bind their feet, and then they take them down there, and they walk up to that furnace, and they throw them in. There goes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible says that the fire was so hot that the men that threw them in fell over dead. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. So now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the fiery furnace. Are you ashamed of God tonight? You know, I hear a lot of things. We say things like, boy, you know, today there's just so many things to get our attention. There's so many things to whatever, and I agree with that, that there is. But the problem is we allow these things to get our attention. Okay? That's the problem. You know, can you imagine if you would die right now and go to heaven and you would talk with some of the martyrs that went before us, that gave their life, that were torn in pieces, that were sawn asunder, and you sit down around the throne and you start to talk and you say, and they tell you their life story and they say, how was it for you? And you say, wow, we had it tough. The economy was down a little bit, you know, and we survived with one snowmobile for the whole family, you know. And, we didn't eat out every meal. I mean, maybe 2-3 nights a week, but that was about it. I mean, and we had the internet, and we had some things that was tough. And, you know, I had a few people in the youth group that they kind of made fun of me and you know, I mean, so I kind of had it rough like you did, you know. I mean, they didn't saw me asunder and they didn't pull me apart, but, you know, I mean, I faced a lot. Can you imagine trying to tell them that? Could you imagine telling Michael Sattler, one of the early men who stepped out from the Catholic Church, who had a high office? Can you imagine sitting there with Michael Sattler and saying, I understand, brother, we had it tough too. Michael Sattler was a priest in the Catholic Church, and they finally caught him. He was born again. He was saved. He got married. He was saved and born again and rebaptized, and that put a bounty on his head. Well, they finally caught him. So they took him, put him in prison. They did all kinds of torturous things to him, and they could not break him. So finally they brought him into court for the last time, and they gave him his sentence. They said, Michael Sattler, tomorrow morning we will come to your cell and we will take you out. They said, we will take a pair of tongs and we will pull out your tongue and cut it off. They said, we will hang you on this cart, and 7 times, I think it's either 3 or 7 times, we'll take hot tongs from the fire and come and pull flesh out of your body while we're pulling you on that cart, and then we will take you out to the stake and we will burn you. So what's your choice? They said, we'll give you the night to think about it. So Michael Sattler went back to, his choice was no. But Michael Sattler went back to his cell, and, you know, I wouldn't have slept well either. He couldn't sleep, and The Lord actually worked a miracle out that night that his wife could, through someone behind the scenes, he was able to meet with his wife a little bit. He said he was restless and he couldn't sleep. But he told his wife, he said, tomorrow morning, he said, when they take me to the stake and you can see me from your window, he said, I want you to know that if I raise my hand like this as I burn at the stake, I have been faithful. He said he began to pray, and he said there was a light that came into that room, and the Spirit of God came in there, and it gave him peace, and he slept. The morning came. They brought Michael Sattler out, asked him what his decision was, and he said the same. The same. So that's what they did. They hung him on this cart, and they said that the shackles were hot. When they hung him by his wrist and his ankles, you could hear the skin sizzle. And they pulled his tongue out, cut it off. They came through with these red-hot tongs, and they pulled flesh out of his body. And then, when they got to the stake, they unshackled him and stood him up. And he exhorted the people to turn to God. Even though his tongue had been mostly pulled out. They took a little bag of dynamite, tied it around his neck, tied him to the stake, and lit the fire. And as that fire began to lick up around his ankles and his legs and his body, he raised his hand in triumph because he had been faithful. Can you imagine sitting with Michael Sattler and saying, we had it rough. We had it rough. Man. No. Am I saying tonight that because in order to be persecuted for Christ that you have to be tortured physically? No. There's a lot of other types of persecution. But what I'm asking tonight is how strong is your faith? Are you willing to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, no way? Are you willing to be like Michael Sattler and say, no way? Are you willing to be like Joseph even when you're taken out of your country and out of your fellowship and out of anybody's sight that can see you? Are you still willing to stand for truth even when no one else can see you and no one else will ever know? That's really how you are. Who I am is what I do in private when I don't think anybody else is seeing. That's who I am. It's not what... If you're different than that tonight... If you come here and you act all pious, you're not pious if you're acting like that in private. You see, how I act in private is who I really am. So the king got upset because truth was given to him, and he threw him into the fiery furnace. And I could just see a kind of smile coming over his face as he looks into that fiery furnace and he watches Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown there. He could care less that a few soldiers died. That's no big deal. I got more of them. And he, because all was important was his image. You know? Have you still been thinking about that image? Not really, have we? Neither were they. They were all watching this situation, and Nebuchadnezzar didn't like that. And so he throws them in, and I can see him kind of start walking back to his throne, and he kind of smirks, and he turns around. He looks into the furnace and he says, he looks and he looks and he asks his bodyguard, he says, how many people did we throw into the fiery furnace? How many? Three. How many do you see in there? Four. He said, we threw three men in there. And he said, now there's four. And he said, that fourth one looks like the Son of God. I don't know how he knew that. And he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. And so, now remember, wasn't they all tied? Wasn't they all, didn't they have ropes in their hands and their feet? And, you know, these dead bodies are laying out here. And so here comes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they're stepping out of the furnace and they're going over these dead bodies that are laying here that were killed by the fire, you know. And they get out here and they come up there and they say, yes, King. Everybody's watching. I mean, isn't it amazing that the fire that delivered them killed the other men? And that's how it's going to be in these end times. Satan is putting on the fire and he's turning it up. And for some of us, it's going to destroy us. And for some of us, it's going to deliver us. I hope for all of us, it's going to deliver us. But he's turning up that heat. And those three men came up and they came up to the king and the king's bodyguards and the governors and all these people, they came around him and they was amazed. I won't embarrass you, will I? You don't know that, do you? But, you know, they came up and they went. And they went. And it says, they were amazed because they didn't even smell like smoke. You know, back when you could still smoke in restaurants, if I stopped at the coffee shop a little bit, you know, if I came home, my wife would say, oh, you've been somewhere where they've been smoking. Because why? She could smell the smoke on me. I find it a little bit interesting. Let's look at this just a moment. It says that they were thrown into the fire. I'll just let the Spirit speak to you on this verse, okay? Verse 27. When the old devil turned up the heat, they didn't change their hairstyle. They didn't change their coats. And they didn't even smell like the world. That's what it says. It says, the bodies whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. It had killed these men, but it had no power. Why? Because it was not their God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, well, no, Nebuchadnezzar said in verse 28, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We are in desperate need of people in the United States of America today. I know we like to go a lot of other places, and I'm not against that, but I think we miss something right in our home communities. You know, I just don't like to work with my neighbors. Well, I'm sorry, dear, but if you go to another country, you're going to work with your neighbors, okay? And souls here are just as important as souls anywhere else, and souls over there are just as well. Am I willing to take a stand and not compromise? Let me ask you a question. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had compromised and would have not went into the fiery furnace, would Nebuchadnezzar have seen God? I don't think so. But somehow we think that we have to compromise it. We have to be ashamed of it. We have to kind of break it down because, wow, we want people to see God. And that is the devil's plan. Because as long as we never allow ourselves to go into the fiery furnace or take a direct stand, they probably won't see God. But because of their willingness to stand for God, God was seen. And Nebuchadnezzar was changed. I know God's not gonna, God didn't deliver Michael Sattler. God may not deliver me. He may not deliver you. We may never have to go to the fiery furnace in that sense. The Bible doesn't say that Noah was beat physically, but he had to stand for truth. Bible doesn't say that Lot was. You know, so I don't know why. I don't understand all the heart of God, but I know that he's good, that he's in control, and I don't know what he's going to ask me to do or to go through. But I know that he says in Matthew 10, verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." That's the beautiful part of it, but he also says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. The Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he Lord tonight? The Bible says some men's sins go to judgment before them. That means that we have bowed the knee. And our sins have already went to judgment. And when we go before God, there won't be that judgment because we have already bowed the knee. I want to challenge us tonight. You're going to bow the knee and you're going to confess that he is Lord and that he was right sometime. Why not do it now? Why not do it in this life? You're going to do it. You are going to do it. Can you imagine? Every person who ever lived is going to kneel before Jesus Christ and he's going to confess that he is Lord. Donald Trump is going to kneel before God someday, and he's going to confess. President Obama, President Bush, Adolf Hitler, Michael Jordan, you name it. Every one of us is going to stand before God someday, and we're going to bow the knee. And we're going to confess that he is Lord. I want to do it in this life. How about you? I want to do it in this life. I don't want to wait till I'm forced to accept my destiny. I want to choose my destiny now and follow that path. I want to challenge us tonight and take, instead of trying to take so much time to find loopholes in God's Word, why don't we just live it? Doesn't that make sense? Well, did God really mean that? He said it. I think he meant it. You know, but, well, you know, it's just kind of, today it's just kind of like, you know, I mean, a lot of people aren't doing that. Jesus said it would be that way. He knew that. He said there's not going to be many that find me. Have you already decided in your heart, by the grace of God, that I will not bow? Let's pray. Father, tonight we come before you. Thank you for the brothers and sisters who have went before us. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, right now, that are torn away from their family, who are being persecuted, who are being killed in huge numbers, more than ever in history, for the sake of Jesus Christ, because they will not bow to the gods. God, right now, I just pray in the name of Jesus that the powers of darkness and of sin and of bondages, pride, you'll never get me to recognize that I need God. You'll never get me to give God that. I pray that any feelings like that tonight would be crushed under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm too cool tonight to confess Jesus, and we're going to be too cool for Jesus to confess us before the Father. God is, as we think about decisions and different things in our life, I just pray, Father, that
the gates of hell could be broken down tonight in our lives. If there's anyone here tonight who has not bowed the knee to your Lordship, whatever it is, maybe there's some here tonight that have bowed the knee, but they just want to drive that stake with a deeper vow. Deeper. I pray for your Spirit to work in our lives in the moments ahead. Lord, we are not going to, Father, I don't plan to tarry long. It is not my responsibility to make someone feel guilty. I just pray that your Spirit would just speak to our hearts and challenge us tonight. I thank you and I praise you, for you alone are worthy. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation tonight is for, of all ages, any ages, from the oldest to the youngest. And the invitation tonight is to come forward. If you can kneel, kneel down here. And by doing that, you're saying before God and these witnesses, I am not going to serve the gods of this world. I choose God. There may be some struggles, there may be things you'll have to work through, but you are purposing in your heart that I will stand for Jesus. Though the world may say I'm wrong, though my youth group may say I'm wrong, even if the time comes that, heaven forbid, that my authorities would say I'm wrong, if it's against your word, that I would stand. Whatever it might be, but don't worry about what that is tonight. I was having an instruction class recently, or a while back, with some young converts, and I said, don't worry about how to die for Christ. I said, just live for him. He'll show you how to die for him if you have to. Doesn't that make sense? If we just live for him, he'll be there with us. It doesn't have to be because there's sin in your life tonight. But if you just want tonight to make a public confession before God and these witnesses that I choose to not bow to other gods other than the living God. We're going to sing a verse or so of a song. And if you would like to come forward, the altar's open. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Bow our heads and pray quietly. If there's anyone else, we're going to tarry for another moment.